It's kind of one of those things, it's like the duck. You know, you see a duck in the water, right? The duck looks like it's cool, but the duck's freaking working hard under the water. Wow, I'm working hard, working hard. That's how our place is. We look cool, but we're working hard.
We said, hang on, we got to record this when Jared asked Trace. So Trace, you are getting tested every week right now for the COVID.
Yeah, it was monthly for the first couple months because I was at our SNF. And then now it's weekly because I'm on our COVID unit. It does not get easier. That was the first question. It is still awful every time. It has gotten a little better because they don't have just like straight Q-tips anymore. It kind of looks more like a real thin pipe cleaner that they kind of stick back there. So it's a little bit less intrusive.
So they're using a pipe cleaner up your nose.
Pretty much. It's back cool. Into my skull to kind of see what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's not the Q-tip or the last three times I've gotten it.
Hey, when they take the pipe cleaner, the Q-tip out, like, what is there any cool like juice on there? Any cool snot?
No, the very first time I had it done, they brought back blood, so that was a cool
juice. Oh God,
that I wasn't expecting. But
yes,
but ever since then, nah.
How much does your experience vary by the person administrating it? Sometimes you're like, oh, you suck.
Yeah. It's usually now that we're getting tested, like one of us will go first and it's like, or in pairs, and they'll be like, get the guy, not the girl, or, you know, get the taller one, not the shorter one. Like, cause they each are getting it done by two separate people. And like one of the times the guy, he like kind of hang back there and dig, and the girl was just like, doop, doop. She was all good. So it really depends on who's doing it.
Yeah. I'd imagine you don't want somebody digging around in there, just trying to make sure.
My last lady counted to four for me just so I knew how long she was going to be in there. So that was great.
Did that help?
No. She didn't tell me she was stopping it for. She just started counting.
Oh, she just started counting.
The second nose, it was good. Like, the second nostril, I knew four was where we're stopping.
She didn't set the expectation of, hey, we're going to four.
What a weird number to stop at.
I know.
Yeah, you're thinking like, four. But she's at least go to four, like five.
Yeah. I don't know what the break-off point for COVID is, but apparently it's a four-second test. If you get five, it might get, you know, contaminated. Three, you're not enough, so a four is...
Was it a quick four, or was it like a four Mississippi?
Oh, it was a four Mississippi, for sure.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It does not get easier. Still like your first time every time.
Ah, man. Hey, those nostrils are going to be really, durable now, though. So that's Wolf's Law.
Exactly. They're all opened up. We're ready to go. Screw technologies.
How awesome was it that you had that surgery prior to COVID, right? What surgery did you have again?
I had a septoplasty, a rhinoplasty, a turbinate reduction, and my tonsils removed, and my adenoids removed. So yeah. The nose stuff was kind of making more room, and then the tonsils removed.
Yeah. And that was like, you're like a new man after that surgery, right? You can just breathe everything.
Yeah. Here recently, I think ever since the African dust storm came through, or the Saharan dust storm or whatever it was, it's kind of still been acting up a little bit. So I went back to the doc this week and he did a little something, gave me some antibiotics and stuff and said, we're good to go. Just need allergy meds. So, but still much better.
That's awesome. So glad you got that out of the way before this all happened.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to do any kind of face surgeries anytime soon. Anything that aerolizes stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are y'all doing with the COVID?
Man.
Anything? Nothing?
Come on. Jared just said, man. Man.
Pass. I mean, nothing. Yeah, we're, you know, as far as my main gig, we're still in biz development mode. That opening has continued to be pushed back. We're going to be opening up that sports clinic in September. So, boy, is it going to be wild to expand into virtual offerings and see if people are really about that life to come in and get some sports rehab. Because, I mean, we know in California, I believe they just canceled all high school sports. So we'll have to see what the youth sport market is here. In Texas, if high school sports are going to, if they're going to resume, what's going to happen with sports like rugby, UT football. I know UT, the next trimester is going to be online. Tyler, I haven't heard anything from the football program just yet if they're going to have a game. Dude, the weird thing is some people want to have games, but if your students aren't on campus, then that's pretty unethical to have your football players, your student athletes continue to play if you're not having, classes on campus, right? So I know that's been a big debate going around.
Plus, you're going to have those students traveling and they're not getting paid. So yeah. It's like you're just exposing. And if you go somewhere, like if you fly into Chicago right now from Texas, you got to be on a 2-week quarantine. So like how are you going to have that happen? Like if you're flying somewhere with or without.
Yeah. So who knows what's going to happen with college sports right now. And And then it's just that, our clinic working on a webinar right now, just talking about how to manage uncertainty for all these athletes. And is there going to be a season? Will there, won't there? And how do you manage your mental stability and keep that competitive edge? And how do you continue to train? If your senior year, maybe the last time you'll play football or your sport just gets completely wiped out, or that scholarship you thought you had is going to be completely removed, or people are losing scholarships now. So it's a lot of uncertainty that is yet to still be navigated amidst like USA Rugby went bankrupt like back in March or whatever. So it's like we're still going to feel these economic hits. I know we just met up with a couple business owners this week, and you hear all the restaurants in Austin closing down. And it's not over, right? Like there isn't going to be some magic snap where everything just kind of comes back to normal and people hit the restaurants, hit the bars again. Our bars are still closed, and you hear stories of especially around UT where it's that college town vibe. There's so much is dependent upon the tourism and all the people that come in to see the UT football games. That's what a lot of the businesses are based on. That's how they eat, right? They get all this money spent during the football season, and that might set them up for the whole year. So what's going to happen if that doesn't continue? So that was negative, but it's real, and it's some real questions that'll have to be answered. It may affect the clinic that I'm working for right now.
It's going to be so interesting to see what plays out with like your clinic and everything, Jared, with all that. For the listeners who might not know, Jared, correct me if I'm wrong with this kind of stuff, but the place that the company that you're working for is going to be at a sports complex, right? And you guys are
It'll be inside this sports entertainment complex, new complex called the Crossover, which is in Cedar Park, Texas, north of Austin. And it was this new development, and it was supposed to officially launch in June, I believe. And it's crazy, before COVID and all this stuff happened, it was projected, they were saying, oh man, like a million people are going to be walking in and out of this facility in the month of June. It's going to have this huge opening. And then all of a sudden along came COVID, a little virus hit. And back in March, remember? And they shut down South by Southwest. And we were like, okay, that's weird. That's a little premature. Why would you go ahead and shut down South by Southwest? Turns out that was the right fucking move. And then, boy, that was the last thing I really remember. And everything else has been shutting down. So, it was projected to be a huge opening for this sports facility. So we'll continue to see how they navigate it. I'm sure each of the tenants, because I know there's a – because the clinic that I'm for is going to be in there, that I work for is going to be in there. D1 Training, which is a youth and professional – strength and conditioning company. They're going to be in there along with a food court and some other fitness tenants and wellness tenants. So it is just like, it's like a mall, but it's like a health and wellness sports complex mall, because they have these vendors and food court stuff and ice. There's a big ice rinks in the bottom floor. The first floor is two ice rinks and an indoor soccer field. The folks from Chaparral Ice are there, and I think the Austin Stars, which are like a local ice team, are going to be there as well. So a lot of potential traffic. They're I don't know what it looks like as far as monitoring who's coming in, who's coming out of that facility, because it's not open yet. But I'm sure there are going to be some occupancy restrictions on that now. in addition to all the other precautions that need to be taken. Hella interesting time.
Yeah, do you think y'all actually open up in September the way things are going?
So they're working on the facility right now. We will – the plan is to open on September 8th and have that soft opening, and we'll perhaps have a grand opening when the crossover itself does. The plan is to open September 8th. So I'll hook y'all up with some free recovery passes.
All right.
You know, come on down and recover. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Amy's ice cream is supposed to be in the crossover too, so we'll go hang out. We'll go hit up the sauna and then get some ice cream. Eat some ice cream in the sauna. Have y'all guys been on ice before? I've never been on ice.
Like skating?
Like skate?
Yeah, skating on ice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared. I've never been on ice yet.
It's not too hard. Have you done like inline skating?
No, I suck. I suck at all types of skating, whether it's inline, a board, or the four wheels.
You'll be great on. It's way easier.
I don't believe you. Totally bullshitting you.
I don't believe that.
Do not believe that for a second. I haven't been on ice since I was 13 or 12 or something, and I remember it being not easy at all. And like the thing about the skating rink that no one like wants to recall is like, if you're not a good skater, there's just people just flying by you like very quickly. And it's a very kind of semi-hostile environment. And if you fall, like you have the potential of someone just skating right on your face. So
that's
and there's the usually blade. That like a figure skater that's practicing in the middle, just kind of spinning and jumping. And it's like, yeah, I can't skate backwards. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's like trying to make it. And then like, yeah, it's a mess.
I'm not getting on that ice. Left turns.
Once you start getting that crossover, then oh, look, I can kind of cross over a little bit.
Then you fall and it's not ground, so you just kind of keep going as you fall till you hit a wall.
Trace, when was the last time you skated?
A year or two ago.
Okay.
We skated in Chicago. We skated in Kansas City. We were going to skate here in Austin, but it was like, I'm not paying $20 to skate on that pool. Like, it's a very small ice skating rink in Austin.
You talking about the one on top of Whole Foods?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that thing's
yeah.
Y'all don't want to skate on top backwards? Of a grocery store?
I cannot skate backwards. I can do forward. I can do the crossover. I can stop. That's about it. That's what I got. That's my repertoire.
So, Jared, like, are you going to try to go on the ice first?
Not
first
now.
First day?
Fuck no. Not now.
I was just trying to make it entertaining.
No,
it's not that bad.
I'm not going to do that at all.
Are you ever going to get on the ice?
No.
You should. It's not that bad.
I feel about ice right now as how I used to feel about dry needling when Tyler and I first took that course. I was just like, I'm never doing this to anyone. This is stupid. I hate these needles. That's how I feel right now about ice skating. But may well come around. I'll start sticking people more, just like I'm sticking people now, and get on that ice more.
Yeah. Oh, until you dry needle on ice, like cold needle therapy.
I think that's going to be my niche. I think I'll have my skates on, and I'll just have somebody laying prone. And much like curling, we'll both like take off at the same time, and we'll both be moving. And I'll just like be really quick and just poke. And they'll have the benefits of the cold therapy as well as the needles,
exactly.
Which, as we both know, are heavily researched and backed by lots of evidence. So yeah, that's what I want. That's my niche right there.
I could see it. You could pull it off.
I think so. I love the ice. I was born on the ice. So we just hit, what, 4 million cases in the U.S. now?
Is that it?
4 million. Oh, it's so sad, though. It's very sad. And we laugh to keep from crying. That's a lot of cases. That's a lot of cases.
At least we're not Brazil. They've got, like, a 50% positive test rate. We're, like, hanging out way lower than that. So we're winning, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. What's hard for me to comprehend is that most people, most Americans still haven't gotten it yet. Right? That's what's, that's kind of the lingering thought that's very hard for me to comprehend right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I'm not going to say like we don't know what we're doing at all, but what's so crazy is like, it's so new that, you know, as a, as like a research person or whatever, you have to be okay with like willingness to be like, oh, we got this wrong. We got this wrong. And it's like every week we're learning more and more about testing. I saw something the other day that was like, there's like 20% false negatives and 30% false positives or switch that. And you're, and it's, while you, it's easy to like scoff at that, you have to recognize like, hey, this is brand new and we have to accept like these, that we're not going to get it right and you have to keep up with things and everything like that. But then you're like, that's what freaks me out is, it doesn't freak me out, but the fact that like we haven't like gotten it down, you know, straight black and white yet. It's still like, oh, you tested negative, but you might have it, or you tested positive and it gets all crazy.
Yeah, that's, I had a buddy that tested negative twice and was still feeling bad. So went in for a third test and then tested positive. So it's like, who knows?
Yeah. So I'm, you did, we, it's not that we don't have any idea of like how rampant it has been or how rampant it could still be. I do think that we have like a relatively good idea of where it's at. But, you know, there's this like window of how big, or like chart, like a breadth of how big or small it could be. That's a crazy story though, Trace. I mean, that's wild. Why? Yeah. Why? I don't know.
It's all that uncertainty.
Yeah.
Right? Man.
Look here. Let's change topics about something important.
Yeah.
The gym. Gym. The weight room, right?
You know, I'm getting after workout. It. I'm in there.
Let's hear Jared. What's his experience?
Yeah. Shout out to CFA, where I'm currently coaching and training at. They're doing a great job of keeping people socially distanced, keeping class sizes low, class capped at 8. We're well under the state 25% capacity there. So we are fortunate to be that local box that can accommodate our people, and we have enough space to do so compared to the Globo gyms, right? So coaches are coaching with our mask on, leading group class with their masks on, but when you're working out in the state of Texas, you don't have to wear a mask. So I'm in there training without a mask, doing group classes. Shout out to coaches Tim, Jen, Dylan, Austin, everybody there, Mark and Heidi and Hannon. Great facility. Do it out there, doing it for the people. And it's amazing, because we get to have these group class environments now, you know, but it's limited still. And we have, you know, you walk in there and you have your own box that you go to, and all your equipment's there that has been cleaned. And you're accommodated with fresh tiles and everything to do your own cleaning after you touch it. They have a disinfects crew that comes in and tests all the surfaces to make sure everything's below that certain number, which they had a recent test and everything was cleared, good to go. Restaurant quality, so you can eat off the floors there, as they're saying. But it's nice to be in somewhat of a community again. Because you get to speak to a lot of the members, and you hear how people have been struggling mentally with quarantine. And it's nice that hour that they can spend in a gym with a few other people kind of gives people that sense of normalcy and that social interaction that people have been missing. And yeah, you hear, and a homie that works for Indeed in town, he said they're going to be working from home until July 2021. So that's a whole nother year that this dude has to prepare to work from home and continue to be socially limited to some extent. So it's tough, man. I know we're in such a unique position as healthcare providers that we can continue to to see our coworkers in person to some extent, and we still have clients coming in. So it's definitely a different experience than if it was just us at a computer for 8 hours a day and then can't go out to the bars or anything after that to socialize. So I'm grateful for that. What are you guys doing to continue to stay active and fit and mentally well?
That is my cue. So I tried to create my own program for my girlfriend and myself, and it created a little conflict. She wasn't down all the way, and she was like, this kind of sucks. And I was like, you kind of suck. No,
she had low compliance.
No, she showed up every time. She just, she was there.
It's too easy.
Turns out I suck at that kind of stuff. No. So I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go find something like classic.
Yeah.
And we pulled up. I downloaded the Beachbody app, and I am on week 3 of the original Sean T Insanity workout.
Ooh, how's that treating you?
It is 5 a.m. in the garage, no AC, Sean T yelling at me. It is pretty brutal at times.
You keeping up with the machine?
You calling Sean T the machine?
The chick that he calls the machine.
I don't know who that, the kind of, just going to shut up there.
The beast of a girl.
I think I know who you're talking about. Because in the fitness test, she's like the demonstrator girl, or like she's the one that's doing it. I keep up with no one in that program. They're all much fitter than I am, and they can move much quicker than I do. It's you know what it is good for, though, is there's, if you've never, people who have seen it before can relate, it's a lot of like these jumping, you know, the classic, the Heisman, bah, 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 bah. And I'm 7 weeks post-op ACL, so it's actually pretty good for my knee with a lot of jumping, plyo, landing mechanics and whatnot. But it's brutal. It's brutal.
How many weeks out are you again?
This is we're like midway through week 3, and it is a 60-day, aka 2-month-long program.
I'm sorry, I meant post-op. Sorry.
Post-op. December 13th was my surgery, and today is July 26th. So.
7 months. Yeah, you said so. 7 weeks the first time, and I was like, I swear it's been longer than that.
Well, that's that Terramana coming out there.
Yeah, the 7-week protocol for ACL is just to do the insanity workouts.
I don't know why they're not.
I'm just killing it. Just
hip-hop abs in week 5, then I go right to insanity, motherfuckers. Let's go.
I'm ready, baby.
Insanity.
Oh my God. That's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you grade Sean T as a fitness coach? Do you like his energy? Do you like his cues?
Well,
do you agree with the cues?
I think he's a man. I think he can walk the walk and also talk the talk. So like when he's doing it, you're like, this dude is doing this workout with me. It feels, because it's the original one, it does feel slightly dated. Like he's saying things and I'm like, but I think he's remarkable. I think he's incredible. I think there's a reason why he's become as successful as he is. And it's not just by coincidence or someone like helped him, like, you know, I think there's a distinct reason why he's become as successful as he is.
Shout out to Sean T.
Yep. Sean T's a beast.
Yeah, he's like after the first one, I was like, this dude is, he can whoop my ass in all these fitness aspects. Okay, got it.
Nice. Well, I have not been in the gym. I've been running. So every morning I'm doing about 2 miles usually, and then try to get like 50 push-ups and some sort of other weighted exercise. I've got 2 25-pound dumbbells, and then it ends up being like 30 to 45 minutes worth of an exercise routine. And then Saturdays or Sundays, one of the 2 days, depending on if it's raining or hot or whatever. I'll usually run like 6 to 8 miles. So I've just been running. And then right now Heidi's got me on Whole 30. So that diet is, it's a food challenge. It is not
That's
a diet.
Tough. That's yeah. tough, bro.
So it's basically meal prepping everything from scratch. Like anything that you think, like, so the basic premise of it is no dairy, no refined sugar, not no carb, but like nothing processed. So anything at all. So like you can't have even sauces of like ketchup, ranch, things like that. Can't do any of that. Has to be homemade everything. No soy, no legumes. So no peanut butter, no peanuts, no rice.
I love
no,
legumes.
They're the best. Lentils, can't have them. Green beans, can't have them. So it's tough, but we are 3 weeks into that, so we got a week left. No alcohol is another thing. So haven't been recording Whiskey Docs here recently.
Dang. I'm excited to see if you find anything that's like, oh, because that's the thing about Whole 30s. People find something that eating that actually made me feel like crap. Right.
I already knew dairy kind of makes me feel like crap. If I eat too much of it, I like dairy. So mm-hmm. I just accept it. But yeah. It does feel a lot cleaner. The biggest thing I think is like making my own food and making like just realizing how much sugar and processed stuff is in everything that we eat. Even like healthy, quote unquote healthy things. Like we've got salsa that we just get from the store and it's like, oh yeah, it's salsa, it's fine. But there's like so much added sugar in that that I just make my own now, or we get like Whole 30 compliant stuff. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Congrats. You're never a stranger to a challenge, though. So that's not. I know you can do it.
Yeah.
Are you running with a mask on?
No.
Yeah.
I run at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, so no one else is out.
Yeah.
So I assume I'm social distancing.
I know this, I know I do feel a certain type of way with this, but I would not work out with the mask on. Just wouldn't do it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I just feel like you are making an educated choice at that time, and everyone's kind of okay with that educated choice, and just don't be an idiot at that point.
Yeah, I just kind of stay away from people further. Like the one time I went here, I think it was in the last month or so, when COVID was definitely a thing, I went to the gym and like it's again early, there's hardly anyone, and House of Gains is huge, absolutely massive complex.
Shout out to House of Gains. Yes. Yeah, the hog.
Yeah, it is massive, and there's like 6 people in the gym, and one lady walks in and gets like on the elliptical right next to me. It's like, there's like 14 ellipticals. Why did you pick the one right next to me? Like, so I moved. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh, that's frustrating. did she also move after you moved to get closer to you?
No. She stayed.
That would have been that. That'd be weird as hell.
She'd come over following and try to get you on the elliptical with me. Just
yeah. We've all yeah, just want to get super close. We've all had that encounter in the gym. It's frightening. It's frightening. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Every time I try to, you know, get up and get next to somebody, they always are trying to walk away from me. I don't understand it.
It's like, I'm just trying to spot you.
Not everyone needs a spot on the elliptical. I don't know what's going on.
You could fall. I just want to be here for you to catch you. You act like you guys haven't spotted somebody on the elliptical or the stair climber. I go up to somebody in the stair climber. I hold my hands out just like this, like a centimeter away from their cheeks. So just in case you fall backwards, I got you.
But yeah, I'm ready to go back to lifting weights, though. I'm tired of doing cardio. I just want to pick up heavy things again.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You guys got dumbbells at home. What else you got? Tyler, you got BFR, right? You got some B-Strong at home?
That was my friend Monica's, and I've, you know, after just borrowing it accidentally for 7 months, I decided to return it to her. So I no longer have the B-Strong.
Oh, man. We gotta get some nice home equipment for y'all. Get y'all rolling.
Yeah. I I have, there's been a few Saturdays that I'll go into the clinic and use that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure, like, it's just crazy because we're at, you know, you're having to start to like change your ideas of like where to invest things. So like my girlfriend just found out that her company is working from home indefinitely and we have a one bedroom apartment. It's like, oh, should we now find a two bedroom or like, should I start putting good money into a home gym? Like, which I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah.
But I mean, man, shit, if I know, who knows how this is gonna, it's crazy. It's crazy. And then, hey, this is another thing about uncertainty. Like, Trace, how is it with the VA and whatnot? With, I was talking to someone who works for the VA, and they're talking about how your position could potentially, like, they could just, like, ship you to Montana. I was like, what? She was saying, like, the VA, like, people, like, if they're not getting used, they can just be like, hey, we need this person here. And
so they could, technically, but most of the time it's at, like, they have to get your approval, but they can reposition you for 364 days. So they can't do it for a full year, but yeah, you could technically. I don't know if it's ever happened. I don't think it would for PT, but nursing, it totally could. They ask for volunteers first though, and it's always filled the position. So like right now there's a volunteer kind of thing where you can go, and I think they're paying like your salary plus $5,000 extra every pay period for you to go into like these areas of need. But yeah, I think technically in our contract, they could, I mean, it's all the VA, it's all federal employees. So they could, but
it's that fed money, that federal money.
Mm-hmm. Fit. And then what about your wedding? What is the deal? What's the deal?
We pushed it back till 2021. We did that a couple months ago, but
well, yeah,
it's like,
yeah. Like, is it, are you guys just like, you know, how are you feeling about that? You feeling pretty confident 2021? Yeah.
We're trying to be right now. I mean, you listen to some of the people and it's all just going to be over in November anyways. So.
The I've been seeing some pretty promising vaccines from the Oxford people. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But, that's good.
Yeah. We're just trying to keep positive with it as much as we can, and we'll address it when we get there. I don't know, it's weird. It's a weird time because I'd be fine just doing like a courthouse wedding eventually, like if it came to that. But I don't know, we want to eventually have, like, one of my friends in PT school, they like had their ceremony, just like their family got married, but they still have their reservation for 2021 to have like a big wedding reception kind of thing.
Hopefully. That's
so that may be a route that we go, like just kind of keep pushing till at some point, like we've already put the money down. So I don't know. Eventually we're gonna have a party.
Do you want to just like get your family and Heidi on this call right now and just get married like over Zoom?
Oh, a live duck legs wedding? I've been waiting to marry somebody.
Reverend, are you guys ordained ministers?
I am. You know I am ordained.
I got a buddy that got ordained to go into med school, so he had something different to put on his application to set him apart.
That's yeah, pretty easy process, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think one of our listeners will ask me to marry them at some point? Like,
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah, that's my goal. That's why I started this podcast.
That's why you started it, right?
Yeah.
Can you do it online? Yeah. Like, just a duck legs?
I don't see why not.
There's no rules right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, HIPAA's not a thing right now. If HIPAA's not a thing, I can marry somebody. Yeah. Give a shit. Attention listeners, if you want to get married, you know, via Zoom, I'm more than happy to do that, and we'll have a good ass time. It'd be great. I'll just do my Jerry Seinfeld impression the whole time. If anybody wants to get married, it's me doing Jerry Seinfeld. I'll do that for free. I'm sorry, kind of derailed us, but
save some money.
Yeah.
What else you got? What else you guys got?
Shit. I'm really into pro wrestling now. That's what I got.
You've been coming back to pro wrestling?
I am, yeah.
Like the current, or are you like just reliving the glory days?
All of it. I'm reliving the glory days. Mostly, but I am getting interested into AEW.
Yeah, you're talking about that. Yeah. You're texting about that. And I was like, Jared is in a deep.
Uh-oh. No, because they're this new company. They're this new company, and they're taking some of the wrestlers from WWE. And it seems like the wrestlers are having more creative control. So that's interesting. But I'm not going to bore you guys too much on that yet. But I have been thinking about being the PT for pro wrestlers, because that seems like a niche that would be awesome and fun to get into. Because Booker T has a camp down in Houston, last I checked. So the five-time WCW champion down there in Houston. Five-time. Yes. That was awesome. Both of you guys had your hands up. I wish listeners had a visual on that. I'm like super down to talk wrestling. Anytime somebody wants to talk wrestling.
Who is the current world champion, heavyweight champion?
I don't know.
Oh, what?
I'm back into it if you can't even tell us who the champion is.
Who the champ is right now?
I'm not asking you to name anyone else. Yeah,
look it up, man.
Sack. Who's the top dog?
Does
Ric Flair have the belt again yet?
Woo!
That would be the greatest thing if Ric Flair. I saw some dude from like the Swamp Guy was doing something. I saw something on a Wednesday.
Strowman or something, yeah.
Yeah. Something on Friday night was on. I couldn't believe it's on Fox like network. And I was like, oh, here's professional wrestling on Fox Network. And this guy's whooping ass.
Yeah. So I think Drew McIntyre is the current champ. But check this out, guys. That's nothing. So this is the last thing on wrestling, and then we'll move on. There was Seth Rollins, who's more of a new wrestler, had a match with one of our favorites, Rey Mysterio. It was an eye for an eye match. Yes, meaning to win, you had to dislocate the eye of your opponent. So when we talk about good writing and bad writing for professional wrestling, this is an instance of bad writing. However they did it, Rey Mysterio had to have a fake eye on hand. And it ended with Seth Rollins kind of pushing Rey Mysterio's head into the steel steps by the ring. They somehow finagled a fake eye that was like cut to, and you see Rey Mysterio holding a fake eye. So that happened. That happened in a WWE ring, eye for an eye match. Not one of pro wrestling's finest moments. Feel free to read more about that. But yeah, so
I feel like you got to go to jail for that.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. But
they win a belt, or was that like a contender fight? Like
that was nothing. That was just an eye for an eye match. It's horrible. Cuz like what was cool back in the day was like the buried alive matches, like Stone Cold, Undertaker. You know, you actually physically have to bury somebody. That shit's cool. Not when you have to have a fake eyeball and pretend like.
What was it called where they had to climb the ladder in the million dollar, like the case or whatever, where they hung the belt like 20
feet
in the
bank. Money in the bank, yeah. Like Money in the Bank, Hell in a Cell, tables, mm-hmm. ladders, chairs. Like that's
TLC
cool.
TLC matches.
TLC. Yeah. I was raised on TLC matches. Fucking Hardy Boys for life. I always wanted to be a Hardy Boy. But yeah, now we're just nerding out. You know, maybe that'll be my next gig, either. I want to be a physio in pro wrestling, or it's not too late to start my career in pro wrestling.
What's your plan of care for Mankind as you get slammed on thumbtacks? What's your go-to?
I would start with the palliative treatment, just being removing the thumbtacks.
Very good.
We'd start there, do a little wound care.
You wouldn't treat it as dry needling and assume he's good to go?
You know what? That could – we might do that. Put him on ice. Maybe that was just an early dry needling treatment, just the thumbtacks. But yeah, no, yeah, we would get into that. We would get into that. I wish all of my patient scenarios in PT school were instead just wrestlers now, instead of like, oh, an athlete with shin splints, 14-year-old girl. No, it's fucking the Undertaker.
Are you still TAing? Can you write a lab practical? Can one of your cases be like, love, patient has a concussion after a DDT?
I would love that more than anything. I would love that. I would love that. I want to build. Here's my goal. You know, Stanley Parris made a school for manual therapy. I'm going to make a school for PTs that just want to treat pro wrestlers. That's my thing. That's me. That's what I want
to
do.
Would you have to, like, get all that crazy cool toys out like Bo Hightower does for his fighter? You know how he does all the MMA fighters?
Yeah, the hammer and shit.
Yeah, he gets, like, the fucking shield out. And hey, I saw him one time use Wolverine claws on a cyst. It's like...
You know, hey, the UFC fighters love him.
They do fucking love him. The boxers, all these people. Yeah, would you get all the toys out like that?
You know, we've talked about this when I've done some presentations on the clinic and in TAing. It's the Bialoski article on manual therapy, right? It just explains all the different mechanisms and why something like touch works, why something like soft tissue can work because of how we experience pain and all the aspects of that and touch. So as long as I can provide that education to somebody, to a pro wrestler, while I'm scraping Wolverine's claws on them, and they get that, and they have an appreciation for how the biopsychosocial model relates to their experience of pain, then yeah, give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I give me a hell yeah.
Breaking down that whole like article and be like, and with that being said, let's get the sledgehammer out.
Yes. Cool. So you understand how like pain's an experience and like pain's an output. Cool. All right. Now let's fucking break out that hammer. Yeah. No, that'd be fun, man. That'd be fun. What advice do you guys have for people managing the uncertainty right now?
I don't know.
I'll jump in. I'll say something that probably listeners like, that's the worst fucking advice I've ever heard. Something about how, I don't know about you guys. I do know Jared's got a little bit, but like a lot of, with my company right now, this is just with work. There's a lot of uncertainty and people just kind of, like, rules change, right? And I think when this first happened, I think that the advice should be that you need to ultimately like remember to look out for yourself. Like, don't forget that you need to take care and look out for yourself, because during this time, people are getting laid off, people's hours are getting weird, or like you're cut, and you. I feel like number one, it can go a billion different ways, but like, for example, oh, I'll just take like a huge pay cut, or like, I don't have a job right now, so the next job it sucks that I'm taking this big pay cut, but I just need to work again. And I understand that completely. But I don't know. My advice would be, and I have to tell myself, is look out for yourself and don't try not to get caught up in the whirlwind.
Yeah, I would say at this point, if you haven't taken any time to sort of self-reflect or work on a new skill that you've always wanted to do, it's not a bad time. Like, I'm now a week into getting my real estate license, because it's like my side job of working at the bar, probably not going back to that like ever. As a healthcare worker, I can't justify going and doing that anymore. There's too much of a risk for especially the patient population I work with. So now it's like finding a different way to do something. And I spent like a month or two trying to work coding. And then I realized like, that's going to take a lot of time to do. And I had no background in it. Whereas like real estate, something that I've been working on for like a year, just kind of learning. And now it's actually putting it to work. I've made some connections that will allow me to do it kind of part-time. So yeah, find something. If you've got extra time instead of Netflixing, unless that's your release, like right now, if that's the way that you can get calm, then by all means do it. But I definitely would say work on another skill, even if your job is secure, because we don't know when this is going to be over. So find something that you can still do, that's still in demand and that you enjoy doing, so that if the time does come, you've got a skill that's marketable and ready to go.
That's such great advice. That's such great advice, you guys.
What do you got, Jared?
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Nature Boy. That's all I got. What was I going to say? Something better than you guys said? You guys had great sage wisdom. I'm over here thinking about Hell in a Cell matches. That's my release. That's my release right now, guys. Yeah, that's because instead of you know, paying to go see a psychotherapist, I just go watch the Attitude Era. That's where I'm at right now with my finances. No. You see me just running this pro wrestling thing bit down into the ground, just not stopping with it. I'm glad you guys are laughing right now, but you're muted, so nobody can hear you laughing. So it just sounds like I'm just going off on a rant about pro wrestling, which I can talk more about it if I wanted to, but I'm not going to, because we'll say that for another podcast. Guys, listeners, reach out if you're struggling. We got your back with a steel chair. Because trust no one, says the Texas Rattlesnake. No, we got you. We got you. Reach out to us if you need anything. We're here for you. We're going to make it out of this thing because we got the sauce.
Real quick, how long till we're back to normal? Let's make something that will age terribly.
Yeah.
like saying coronavirus won't be a big deal.
No, we'll have 30,000 okay. cases. It'll be fine.
Till we're back to normal. Normalcy.
Till you are comfortable going to a UT game at full capacity. That's what we will consider normal.
Hell yeah. March 2021.
Jared.
I'm going to go with Indeed and say that if their people are working at home till July 2021, I'm going to say July 2021. And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
I'm going to go out further to March 2022. Before
goddamn! He went 2022. He said 2022. God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The carnage. The carnage. Wow.
2022.
That's a wow.
That's the full capacity. Have y'all done any travel since then? Like, since this has all been a thing?
I have.
How'd you feel getting on a plane next to people with their noses out feeling good?
I nice treat there. I see people, a lot of people. Let me tell you something. I see a lot of people in a day and I get close to them. And I got on an airplane and I was like, well, I got COVID.
Yep.
I was like, there was like no like quit. I was like, oh, if I had somehow dodged it till now, this is me getting it. Yes. It was crazy. It was – I don't know if we've recorded this, have we?
No, we have not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got on our first airline, and it was like, I don't know. We assumed there would be some sort of capacity requirements. There were. It had to be full.
Full. That was me, too.
Full capacity.
What was it? Was it American? You went, there's a, whoever I flew with was the one that's like, they're getting a lot of backlash right now.
Mm-hmm. That's, I know the last time I checked, which I mean, that wasn't super recent, but Southwest was kind of the only one that was like, no, we're going to still kind of social distance this thing out. Like, it's not about the bottom line. We're going to try not to kill y'all.
But Look at Southwest.
I know, right?
They're a fantastic company. Everyone should invest in them.
Oh, here we go.
Not investment advice. Not a financial advisor.
Let me be clear, that was not financial advice.
Yeah, it's a good point, Trace. It's a good point, man. The airplanes are weird.
Now you're saying an airplane of 500 people, maybe? You're going to be in a stadium of 20,000 in 8
drunk.
Months, 10 months.
Drunk, crazy.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
Screaming.
I'm drunk. They're drunk. They're wanting to fight me. I got my LSU gear on. LSU ain't even playing. Just like yelling, go Tigers. Ready to fight a Texan. Ready to give somebody a stone cold stunner. out here giving a fuck. No, yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Things are probably not going to be the same for a while. So
that's weird.
The new it's normal.
Totally weird.
Let's buckle up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's buckle up. Be safe. But that's where a lot of creativity is going to come out of this time. So we'll just have to keep pushing, keep fighting, keep helping people out, and keep being grateful. Appreciate you guys. Listeners, reach out. We love y'all.